Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source, a production of Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Well, folks, we had some great racing this past weekend at Concord Motor Speedway for the 15th annual North-South Shootout in memory of John Blewett III and Charles Kepley, the gentleman who started it. And, you know, the last show we had Doug Smith on here talking a little bit about what all was going to happen in the North-South Shootout for the weekend and everything. And our hometown favorite, me and Doug talked a little bit about Bobby during the last show about, you know, is he ready to step up and be the premier car there at his home track. Bobby had a pretty interesting weekend, so we want to welcome tonight's guest, Bobby Meesmer Jr., back to Stars Radio. Buddy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
Hey, well, Bobby, you know, you had a up and down weekend, and I'm going to let you kind of fill our listeners in a little bit about your weekend and how it went.
Yeah, it definitely was what you could call an up and down weekend. You know, we started off with our Hughes Motorsports machine that I drive typically at Bowman Gray Stadium, and then on the SMRS Tour. You know, we were top 10 the whole all day Friday and all the practices, and I think we ended up like sixth overall for the day. And went into qualifying, went out early, and I think that probably hurt us a little bit, but ended up on the outside front row and qualifying second there to Brandon Ward and that bunch right there on their game for qualifying. We were able to lock ourselves into the TC race, and, you know, Kevin Hughes, I've drove for since 2007 there back Concord days. You know, he pretty much told me earlier in the week him and Teddy were good buddies, and, you know, if we were able to qualify in the top 12, that he wanted me to run the race, and we planned to do so, and we went into the draw there, locked ourselves in, and just some things changed on how the race format played out, but long story short, we ended up getting taken out by a 19th place qualifier that was just trying to get some extra seat time at the track, and first lap, first corner, and pretty much ended our day with the Hughes Motorsports entry, and so we pretty much thought our weekend was over, but I got the call from Phil Stefanelli and PSR guys. They had a car that was already there that was qualified in by Darren Shaw, and Darren was nice enough to step away from the car and give me the seat and let me take the reins of that machine, which I already knew was a really good car. One of my good friends, Danny Bone, has ran it on the SMRS Tour the last three races there of the season and had really good success in it. And so me and Phil, my guys, Phil's guys, we all got together Saturday morning, made some changes to his car, put seat in, seat out, make me comfortable in the car, and got 20 minutes of practice and was able to still compete.
Well, you know, it's great that, you know, other car owners and competitors feel confident enough in you, Bobby, to allow you to go and jump in their machine. That's really got to make you feel really good right there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Phil's a guy I've known for a little while. We hadn't really ever, we've been acquaintances as far as competitors, but never really talked about driving, you know, because like I say, I've drove for Kevin since 2007, and it's been pretty much like a father-son relationship. You know, we won a bunch of races together, championships, and you know, Phil just he felt like he wanted to see me in his car, and he offered it up, and I was fortunate enough to be able to still compete in the North-South Shootout, and, you know, I made the best of it by starting in the tail of the field and putting on a show for the fans, and I'm pretty sure everybody that was there definitely got their money's worth.
No doubt about getting their money's worth there, Bobby. Anytime you can start a shotgun on the field and work your way through traffic the way you did, you just, you know, weren't in no great big hurry, just methodically worked your way through it. And, you know, Concord being Bobby Meesmer's home track, you know, that definitely played into your wheelhouse there and helped you out a lot. You kind of knew a little bit more about the track than some of the other guys that was running there in the North-South shootout. What is something that as far as Bobby knows about Concord that maybe some of them other guys didn't know about?
You know, it's funny. We all talked about it after the race. You know, I passed about, I guess I ended up passing 22 cars, and all 22 of those cars I passed the same way, and it's kind of a signature move that I started. And, you know, I guess back even when I drove front wheel drive four cylinder cars, it's something that high low is what we call it, and three and four, and I'm able to get to the gas a lot sooner than, say, people that are down running what would be the typical line at Concord. And it's kind of amazing that, you know, nobody actually tried to block that move. About the only two drivers that throughout the race that actually blocked the move, you know, later on in the race was Andy Seiss and Ryan Preece, but I was still able to get around Andy, and you know, Ryan, me and him had a hard race there for a second the last 10 laps, and just without wrecking him, I couldn't get around him, so he did what he had to do to keep second. But but yeah, I mean, it's just nobody's picked up on it, and you know, and I got probably a million laps around that place if you add it all up. And it's just knowing that track, I could probably drive it back, and, you know, blindfolded. It's it definitely pays dividends whenever we come down to these tour events. I just, you know, luck a lot of times doesn't go my way, and that's a lot of part of racing is luck. You got to have that too. But we definitely had a little bit of luck still left Saturday.
Well, Bobby, you know, we was talking about Concord being your favorite or your home track, and you having a million laps in there. Tell us a little bit about your racing background and how you come up to driving these open wheel modifieds.
Yeah, you know, I touched on it a little bit there. I started out front wheel drive cars at Concord, and you know, moved up to street stock class there, drove for a guy, Rodney Hams. He gave me an opportunity to run a car, and first time I got in it, I won. And, you know, we'd done about six races in that street stock class that particular year, and moved up to late models, and then on from late models, once I won a track championship there at Concord in 2011, we moved up to the past super late model series. And you know, we done the past tour there for a couple years, and you just kind of got burnt out on late model stuff. And guys I was driving for, you know, I was teamed up with Bob Dillner at that time, me and Kevin, and they both shared the same love for modifieds that you know, I always thought they were awesome cars and would love to drive one. So they both shared the love together, and we ended up getting us a car, and, you know, jumped right into headfirst. Crazy as it sounds, we jumped headfirst into the Southern Modified NASCAR Southern Willen Modified Tour in 2014, and it's been a learning experience. I've gained a lot more friends, you know, on the racetrack and off the racetrack, but it's definitely it's been a challenge. And we finally got our first win last year on the SMRS Tour, and also got a win at East Carolina Speedway on the NASCAR Willen Modified Tour as well. So we definitely made big jumps, big gains in a short amount of time. And I think this weekend we also showed that we were capable of running with the best. You know, you had Matt Hirschman there, and, you know, Ryan Preece, you know, my buddy Chucky Hossfeld there, you know, all the good drivers show up to that event, and it was a heck of a show. I mean, and we proved that we could run with them.
Well, Bobby, somebody sent me a text message here and wanted me to ask you if you still have the bent wheel. I guess you know what they're talking about.
Yeah, we kind of made a joke out of that, and it ended up backfiring on us a little bit because we ended up with another bent wheel in the dash for cash there. But we finally, after 3 years running, we finally took that home to the shop. I'm gonna go ahead and get my probably $1.25 scrap metal for it, and they won't have to worry about it sitting down at the racetrack anymore.
Well, can you inform our listeners a little bit about what we're talking about? I was there, so I saw it. I know what happened.
Well, basically that wheel, like I say, my buddy Chuck Hosfeld, I'll call him my buddy now. I think we've made up a little bit, or at least put that behind us. I was leading the North-South Shootout, I guess that was 2015, my second year there in the modified, but first year having the North-South Shootout back at Concord Speedway. I was leading the race and kind of got stuck out there. I stuck myself out there on some older tires and was dropping down through the field a little bit. And me and Chuck had a little disagreement for space going through the dog leg and kind of stuffed me in the fence pretty hard and killed a race car. But, I say put it behind me. But the wheel broke off the car. I basically carried it around the racetrack, and I'd say I threw it at the pit box of his team. And I can laugh about it now, I guess, but it was kind of stupid then. But things happen in the heat of the moment, and that's all behind us now.
Absolutely. I got to tell you, from what we were saying, it was actually comical watching you do that, because none of us could figure out exactly what you were doing. So.
Definitely.
We keep hearing
I didn't know what I was doing either. But I did one part of my brain, which was the part that it did need to be thinking about, knew what I was doing. I was, if they wanted it that bad, I was just giving it to them. So.
Right. Well, you ran up at the Madhouse here in 2017, and, a lot of people, especially around here in the Carolinas, knows exactly what the Madhouse is up there at Bowman Gray Stadium. What made you want to go up there and run at the Madhouse, Bobby?
It was basically the experience. You got 16,000 plus people there every week. It's definitely it's unique. We having a modified and having two cars, we planned on doing the SMRS tour, so we left one car that was say tour legal, and went on to make our older car a stadium car. They're a little bit different rules, but they're still very similar in a sense. But it turned out to be exactly what we expected. You have your little wild moments, but it's legendary. It's a part of history, and to go up there and be able to run with Bert and Jason Myers and Tim Brown, and have a chance to win a few races this past year and come up short. But it was definitely a fun experience. And actually look forward to hopefully putting together a deal and going back and doing it again in 2018.
Well, I was getting ready to ask you if you plan on going back there. Glad to hear you are trying to make your return back there to the stadium. I had an opportunity to go up there and take in one race this year. And the night we were up there, you were running really well and got caught up in somebody else's mess and messed your night up. Like you said, it is a historic track. Some of the best modified guys there has had an opportunity to race there at Bowman Gray, and just a very rich in history there. Do you have any other plans that you can tell us about 2018?
Well, I can actually go ahead and I've been given the okay to go ahead and announce that before 2018 I'll be going next weekend, or the Myrtle Beach 400 weekend, will be going to run a team car to Danny Bone with Phil Fast Phil and and all his guys. So having the good run we had this weekend, he's going to put together another car, and there's going to be double 17s down there. So go ahead and throw the warning out so everybody knows that they're going to have two fast fuel cars down there. And you know, next year, you know, me and Kevin are still, you know, work on our plans of what we're going to do. I can pretty much say it's 100% that we're going to go back to the stadium and run the stadium full time and try and run for a championship and some wins up there. Definitely made some headways toward the end of the season up there, and look forward to going back and picking up where we left off, finishing second up there in the 150 lap race here at the end of the year. But yeah, it's that's pretty much what we got going on right now. You know, I can't really say outside of Bowman Gray next year if we'll be doing anything, but that's what I got right now.
Well, you're headed down to the beach. Modifieds has only been going down there for a couple years now, and you know, everybody knows that place down there is tremendously hard on tires. We were down there. Actually, been there to 2 years that the Modifieds has been there, and you watch some of the guys just ride around towards the back at the beginning of the race and then come in, change their tires, and take off, you know, the second half of the race. Have you ever had an opportunity to race down there at the beach, Bobby?
Yes. We actually finished fourth or fifth, I can't remember exactly, last year. And I think it was fifth last year and then fourth the year before when I went down and ran the November race. You know, so you hit the nail on the head. You got to really conserve tires, and it, so you can be there at the end. You know, Matty, old Hershey there, he tricked everybody last year and was able to get a better tire right with 20 to go, and basically blistered the field and embarrassed everybody. But this year they got a little bit different format. They're kind of spreading the money out. You know, paying some $500 bonuses in the segments, like 50, lap 50, lap 75, and I think lap 100. So, you know, my goal is to go down there, and hopefully me and Danny can finish 1-2 and hopefully take all the segment money and, you know, really make Phil happy. He's already happy with the run we had at Concord, but hopefully we can carry this momentum for him and his guys on that. Like I say, Danny had already started, so should be interesting to see how it goes.
Well, Bobby, you've made a lot of progress in your racing career in a fairly short time. If I was to ask you 5 years from now, where would you want to be? What would your answer be? Where would you want your racing career to be in 5 years?
I mean, I'm pretty much happy where I'm at here in the modified tours and running at Bowman Gray Stadium. I mean, I pretty much, I know I'm not going to be no Ryan Blaney or Chase Elliott. I'm pretty much too old for that, and I don't have a dad that's got money running out his ears to push me any further. But you know, to being able to run the NASCAR tour and win a race on that series, you know, not having the experience and the knowledge that those teams had was a heck of an accomplishment for me and Kevin and our guys, and you know, the little team that we are. You know, and who knows, this deal teaming up with Phil here, you know, it could go into something big, you know, for all of us. You know, it's a little too early to tell. But I definitely want to see, you know, Danny and Phil continue their good deal. I don't want to mess anything up that they've started, but, you know, it could be a disaster for the rest of our competition if, this weekend shows anything and, the three races that Danny's already ran for Phil, if he's behind us and we, you know, take all our notes and put them together, it could be a pretty big deal. So in 5 years, if I'm still running modifieds, I'm pretty happy with that. I don't see us going any further, but who knows? You never know. Doors open, doors close. So I'm happy where I'm at.
Well, Bobby, with your job that you work Monday through Friday, do you get any kind of technical support or maybe just even straight up advice from some of the folks that you work with?
Yeah, I mean, being at Stuart House, there's a lot of people I can bounce information off of and, you know, get advice or get, you know, some information. You know, a lot of things don't apply, but, you know, we try and bounce stuff off of each other, and I try and learn when I can, and it's been an advantage at times, and you know it's definitely I guess a good job to have whenever you're a racer on the side.
That's right. Well, Bobby, I know you've already mentioned Kevin, and I want to give you an opportunity to recognize all your sponsors and your crew members, people that helped you out. Been influential in your racing career. You know, some of these folks don't get their name mentioned, you know, as much as they deserve. So won't you take a moment and recognize some of those folks?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Kevin Hughes Motorsports, I've mentioned him. My dad, my mom, my dad, you know, they supported me from the beginning. And my wife and kids, you know, racing's a sport where it takes you away from home quite a bit. And we all make it work somehow, and I can't thank them enough for all their support. You know, and all my guys, Darren Anderson, Ben Carver, David Kratzley came back this week and helped us, you know, pit the car. You know, those guys volunteer their time and come out and help. And if it wasn't for them, it'd be impossible to make it to the track a lot of times. And obviously, you know, Fast Phil Stefanelli and his guys this weekend pitching in and doing what they did for me. I can't thank them guys enough. And my sponsors, you know, Lead Two Real Estate, Frank Bolter, he's been a partner of ours for the last 3-4 years, good friends with Kevin, and Crispy's Bar and Grill in Kannapolis. Anybody that loves bacon and they're in the Kannapolis area, you need to go to Crispy's Bar and Grill. Everything is has got bacon on it or wrapped in bacon. It's a phenomenal restaurant. There's nothing there that's not good. At least I may sound a little biased because he's a sponsor of mine, but it's definitely great food. If it wasn't for him, you know, supporting us throughout the year, we wouldn't have made it to a couple shows. And Race Electronics, you know, is part of our deal too. You know, anybody that needs any radios and fan vision, any kind of scanners, you go to the racetrack, go see Race Electronics. They'll take care of you.
And Kevin and them guys there at Race Electronics, they take care of all the racers while they're at the racetrack, and that's a big help and support. And I know I've had to use Kevin and Racing Electronics and their services, and really means a lot when you're at the racetrack and you're having radio issues. You got someone right there that can help troubleshoot it. Bobby, I appreciate you coming back on the show tonight and telling us a little bit about your weekend. Congratulations on the Stuart Haas win yesterday with Kevin Harvick. Yep. Be looking forward to running across you. I just might be at Myrtle Beach in 2 weeks down there for that modified race. And just like last year, man, I'll come up and shout at you when I'm down there.
All right, that sounds great. Hopefully, you know, Phil and the guys, I think they're putting the car together. It's a brand new car. He told me tonight while I was being the superstar on the radio show, he was going to be back at the shop putting that thing together. But I'm going to go down and see those guys tomorrow night, hopefully I can get that thing dialed in like we had his primary car this weekend, and go down there. Me and Danny can finish 1-2, whether it's me out front or him. The deal is with Phil, we can't wreck one another. So
absolutely.
I'm okay with finishing second as long as Danny's out in front of me.
That's right. Hey, we'll have to get Phil on the show and let him be the superstar one for Monday night.
Yeah. Hopefully he's listening right now in the shop. He's probably getting a good kick out of that. I'll definitely, if he's not listening, I'll definitely mention it to him.
Okay. Appreciate it, Bobby. Folks, it's time for us to get out of here tonight. Our military unit of the week is going to be the first responders for those folks out there in Sugarland, Texas. Just another horrible tragedy in our country. Hopefully this is going to come to an end. People's just going to have to wake up. Glad we had some good citizens there that was helping defend our church, those churches, church folks out there. So, but we'll see everybody back here next Monday night for another edition of Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source. Production of Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Remember, Speed Ray Report and Patrick Reynolds at 7:30. Racing and Rocking, Bill and Barb and John at the top at 8 o'clock hour. Good night and God bless.
He sold whiskey for years. I mean, for years and years.
He must have been good stuff.
Taste that sweet champagne.